welcome to episode 11 of the Golf Talk Podcast. Hopefully this week will be a little bit louder. I finally figured out where the gain adjustment was. Joining me as always, Jeff Smith from Washington.
Yeah, hello, Eric.
How's it going?
I'm doing well. Yeah, not too bad. I just looked out here, see some blue sky, but it's still wet, so still in the winter months.
I think it's the last good day you're going to have for a couple of months here.
A long time, right?
Especially next Sunday, you guys are going to feel some pain.
Well, I got a little smile starting on my face now. I got some hope, man.
There's no hope. Your only hope is Bill Cowher being a moron, which, granted, is a pretty good shot. But, of course, we're talking about my Steelers and Jeff's Seahawks meeting up in the Super Bowl.
What are the chances of that happening?
I don't know. If we knew this, we should have started our podcast together a long time ago.
No kidding. The build-up is going to be excruciating. This is going to be an awesome week, dude.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Who cares about golf? That's the end of our podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Both our teams are in the Super Bowl, man.
Right.
Might as well just quit.
Yep, okay, we're done.
That's it. Hey, it's been nice doing this program for you.
That's right, okay. Well, unfortunately, our sponsors probably wouldn't like that a whole lot.
So. No. Right.
So we'll talk to, maybe we can get this guy to sponsor us. He spent $35,000 for a putter.
Wow.
That's a story.
That's a pretty expensive Scotty Cameron there.
It's a pretty expensive anything.
Yeah.
If I had $35,000, I don't know if I'd spend it for, you know, Elin Nordegren.
Yeah, well, how about that? Hey, I'm reading this story, and I just realized, you know, he's in a different, he must be in a different league than I'm in. I mean,
well, he didn't even tell his wife about it.
Yeah, well, what I thought was funny, he says, please don't say anything.
I'll admit that that's worse than you not telling, what was it, something about you not telling your wife that you're a cheap bastard that didn't buy everybody holes-in-one drinks or something. Something like that, right? Telling your wife that you spent $35,000?
That's way worse, Eric.
That's a little worse, yeah.
Well, it says, my wife has no idea I own this putter, nor is she aware of the price. I trust that my fellow collectors will keep this information in strict confidence. So hopefully she's not listening to this podcast.
That's right. Hopefully she's not. But then again, it could always be some other guy.
That's true.
Right. If your husband suddenly owns a new putter that says 1 of 5 on the bottom, you may want to check out your books.
That's exactly right.
I never quite understood the people that, you know, could just drop this kind of money and not tell their spouses. Or like those, they have those Lexus commercials during Christmas time.
Uh-huh.
Like, if I went out and bought a Lexus for my significant other, you damn well better bet that we'd be a little better off than, you know, we are now. Because
it's
really not my decision to, you know, spend $50,000. Just, on a whim. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's like I say, it's a little different class. Hey, sweetie, I went ahead and picked up that putter I've been looking at. No, $35,000.
He putted with it too, just, you know, in his living room. But I don't know. He says he putted a couple 10-footers. I'm gonna guess that that wasn't quite the width of the room.
No.
So
yeah, whatever. 10-footers with a brand new ball hasn't been played.
Yeah. You know. Good luck. Hope you don't lose it. Slow playing golf. There's absolutely no segue from, you know, spending $35,000 to moving into slow playing golf. Slow playing golf, big problem. Not just on the PGA Tour, but, you know, I don't know if the trickle down effect. Reagan probably wasn't talking about golf, but you know, we watch pros take forever, and I don't know if what effect that has on amateurs, but they play slower then. So slow play on the PGA Tour certainly a large factor. Last year, all the rain and weather, you know, weather delays. You know, if the guys could have played around in 3.5 hours, the weather wouldn't have been nearly as much of a factor.
This is true.
I'm not going to link to this guy again, but someone's basically saying they want Tiger Woods to lead the charge a little bit. You know, I mean, whatever. Like, the guy doesn't have other things to do, but, you know, if you're going to get someone to lead a charge, I guess that's the best guy you can think of. So,
well, you know, it is a problem, and particularly, you know, with golf gaining popularity, you got all these guys going out on the weekend and trying to get a round in, and you know, it's just not something people are even aware of, I don't think. You know, because you and I go out to a public course, and sometimes, you know, 5.5 hours is a lengthy round.
Right.
You know,
control. So if you were the czar of golf, I guess you could say, if you were Tim Fincham, what would you do to try to cure slow play on the PGA Tour?
Well, I would make the existing penalties you know, have a little more teeth. It'd hurt if you...
Yeah, well, the problem I see with the existing penalties are they rely on when you get out of position.
Right.
Basically, there has to be a hole open in front of your group. Well, I mean, if the first guy off takes 5.5 hours to play his round, nobody's going to be out of position, but everyone's going to play in 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if a possibility would be to set, you know, penalties for if you don't finish in this amount of time.
Right.
Obviously, you know, if the group ahead of you is holding you up, then that group gets penalized and you do not, because, you know, if they don't finish in that amount of time, they get the penalties. You know, the groups after them, not so. You know what I mean?
Right. It's a tough thing. It would be a tough thing to monitor because you do have so many people in front of you. If you're in the middle of the pack and you're playing against, or you're playing behind some slow folks, you know, how does the tour kind of monitor that? You know, because somebody may be playing faster if they didn't have so many folks in front of them. So, you know, it's a tough one
something that really needs to be looked at, though.
Yeah.
That's what I think. So we'll talk about it more later, because no doubt it will come up this year on the PGA Tour. Someone else who's coming up a little bit on the PGA Tour this year. David Duval has made 2 cuts.
Yeah.
And he shot a 64 to make the cut by a couple at the Bob Hope after shooting a 79, I think it was. He's got $41,000 now. I think somewhere around there, $41,554. Really, not much to say about this, but other than you know, pat on the back, a high five, or a thumbs up to David Duval. 291 driving distance, not bad. Driving accuracy, you know, 45-46%. You know, I mean, he could be up there in a couple other things, but you know, 64 and a 63 that he had a couple weeks ago. You know, that'd be unheard of last year at this time for him.
Well, so. A lot of Duval fans are really happy to see him make 2 cuts right off the start. And that's got to help him, you know, feel more confident going into this year. And I think, you know, I think we can see him kind of string together some cuts and hopefully kind of gain some traction this year. That'd be great to see.
Yeah, and he seems to be enjoying himself a little bit more, a little more smiling, a little less of, you know, the man behind the shades going on this year.
Right.
You know, I mean, that could be a family, you know, situation, just an overall happiness thing, or hopefully he is enjoying himself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was one calling for him to just go home last year. And I stand by that, because I don't think that, you know, you had a right to be out there shooting 84 every weekend. Or, not every weekend, every Thursday and Friday. You know, last year he was taking spots away from people that, you know, could otherwise play and actually possibly compete. You know, this year he's actually competing. He's making cuts, so he's doing better than half the field, so.
And perhaps he's feeling the heat, you know.
That's right, I have no bones. This is the last year of his exemptions. You're right about that. But I certainly have no bones about him being out there this year. He's actually competing. He's competitive. He's shooting good numbers.
Yeah.
He's shooting some 79s, but then again, Jason Gore shot, he averaged 80 for 4 rounds of the Mercedes or whatever, so, you know, 79, really not so bad, I suppose.
I'm still kicking myself for picking Gore.
I'm just tanking this season, I gave up. I'll wait for segment 2.
Yeah, I finally figured out how to use the thing, so.
Well, there you go. We're throwing the flags. The Super Bowl is Sunday,
that's all we care about. We're in the Super Bowl, so that's all that matters.
That's right. So
at this point,
you can get 98% in your little golf thing, and we'll be, you know, on the sport's biggest stage. So there.
Right.
Oh boy,
you got that to fall back on.
The Golf WRX segment, the Golf God segment. We're probably going to have some video next week on the site, so look for that. Of course, we have some people down at the PGA Merchandise Show and Convention, but the PGA Merchandise Show. So we have some people down there taking some video and recording some stuff. So. We'll post that when we get it, but they're out this week and don't have anything for us, so we'll be right back after this.
For a crisper long iron, grip up on it about an inch.
Be real aggressive through impact.
Keep it short and aggressive.
Maintain your balance.
Take one more club and swing it smooth.
Think happy thoughts.
For a soft draw, close your stance and make sure you release the club.
I'm going to lounge my feet to the right a little bit, hook the club face, then grip the club.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And one more tip, trust your tightness.
Oh, that's got to be it, guys. Come on, that's a perfect shot.
All right, thanks, Titleist. Now, Jeff, before we move on here, what's the bet? I asked you in the forum, and you've pretty much, I'd say you chicken-hawked out, but I might be going too far. You've basically chickened out on making an actual bet here. I'm not talking money. Well, I'm talking some kind of, you know, dare or something.
Well, shoot, Eric. I mean, you know, the creativity, the juices aren't flowing, man. I'm not really sure what to bet. I mean, is it the kind of thing where if the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, you have to wear a Seahawks hat for a week? Or, you know, what do you think?
Well, I never leave the house, so who cares?
Well, we got to make it hurt.
All right. You know, when the Steelers win, you have to do an entire show in Pig Latin.
I actually don't know Pig Latin, but I know another one of those languages.
Well, we won't be doing that anyway, because I don't understand what the heck you were saying.
No, no one would. We'll see. We'll work something out. We've got a week. You know, by next Friday, we should have come up with something, and then, you know, we can look forward to
Sunday. Well, I'm laying it on you. It's your first visit, so you get to make the terms here a little bit.
Oh, I do? Okay. So, I can kind of balance it out there.
You've been there six times.
Okay, yeah.
And Dave, if you're listening, the Browns have never been to the Super Bowl. I don't care what you think about those.
Right.
They had like four teams.
And Dave, at least the Seahawks now have you know, bought their ticket.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, it was pandemonium here all season long, so.
Well, they lost their Super Bowl virginity, so.
Well, you know, you got to keep this in mind that for a state, you know, full of basically granola eaters and Birkenstock wearing, you know, lefty wackos,
you've
got to keep it in perspective. Yeah.
So moving on to, you know, golf, I suppose.
We can do that.
Some more talk about the Bubba Watson thread has generated some, we'll call it spirited debates, about the value of distance. I'm a big fan of saying, you know, it doesn't really matter much, just based on statistics showing earnings versus distance. And then someone proposed that if you hit it further, you're more likely to hit it closer to the hole, making it thus easier to putt and hit greens and score well. Well, Dave dropped those numbers in. Dave does the numbers game column. He dropped those numbers in and basically found almost no correlation between how far you drive the ball and how far you hit it from the pin. Almost no correlation. A perfect fit would be 1.0, you know. Dave found that the value for that was 0.02.
Yeah.
Basically, if you just threw a bunch of dots at a graph, you could probably beat 0.02.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I that's what I said. I was like, you know, I felt like common or street sense kind of tells us that if you hit the ball further, that, you know, you're going to be hitting less club into the green, you're going to be closer. But really, the stats say otherwise. There's no correlation whatsoever.
And the weird thing is, the R-square value, which is the number I was talking about, for driving accuracy, corresponds at 0.11.
Yeah.
So 5.5 times more of a better predictor. Granted, they're both like terrible. They're both way far away from one. They're really not very... They don't correlate at all. But it is 5.5 or so times better.
Right.
And the slope, the graph actually has some slope that you can see. The driving distance graph is pretty much flat.
Yeah, it's kind of a smile.
Yeah, so even if they were flat and it had a 1.0 value, you know, that wouldn't matter. You need some slope there to have an actual correlation, a positive correlation. A flat line wouldn't matter at all. So
our buddy at the forum doesn't seem to want to let it go, too, because he brings up some more ideas.
Right, now he's trying to say, okay, well, that's not for PGA Tour. I was talking about amateurs.
Right, for amateurs, well, it does matter that, and I'm not so sure that that's true.
I'm not either, because everything else the guy said has been proven to be false. So
yeah, well, but the stats, if the stats say one thing for the PGA Tour, then, you know, there's going to be a rough correlation in the amateur ranks, too.
Right.
You know, because people are people everywhere you go.
People are people, so.
Sounds like a song.
We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
To hit the ball more solid off the tee, you need to swing at a pace you can't control and catch the ball right in the middle of the club face.
You want to hit it a little bit longer, try moving it up in your stance just a little.
You got to complete your backswing.
Try a little pause at the top.
Try a bigger shoulder turn.
Grip it more in the fingers and less in the palm.
If you want to hit it big, you got to swing big.
And the most important tip of all,
trust your tightest.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
That was a good shot, too.
Thanks for that, Titleist. Let's move on to another equipment manufacturer that that's caught a little bit of controversy. If you visit MichelleWeGolf.com, I'm going to visit it right now, WeGolf.com, someone basically registered MichelleWeGolf.com, the domain name, and it forwards to TaylorMade's site. Michelle Wee is, of course, a Nike staff player. Nike's lawyers sent a cease and desist letter to TaylorMade. TaylorMade said, we had nothing to do with this. This is just some guy that registered this domain name. What do you want us to do?
He was obviously a TaylorMade fan.
I guess. Or just, you know, maybe he's not a Nike fan or something. I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, kind of an interesting thing. What can you do about it? I don't know. It's still working as of today. It's been up, you know, around for a week or so. You know, I think, Michelle, we may have a cause of action against the guy as far as, you know, whether the guy is a rightful owner of, you know, MichelleWeGolf.com.
Right.
You know, I mean, McDonald's, you know, various corporate people have taken over domain names from individuals if they thought they were domain name squatting. You know, if the guy's name was Michelle Wee, great. Or if he'd been running, like, a Michelle Wee fan site, you know, for 2 years or something, then he would be entitled to it. I don't know that he's doing much, you know, that entitles him to keep it. So.
Right. Well, this is going to be a wait and see to see if either Maggie or Michelle Wee gets, you know, on the bandwagon and tries to put this situation right.
Right. On the flip side, you know, Nike is getting a little publicity, and so is TaylorMade, so who knows? You know, and if the guy does sell, you know, he'll make a couple grand probably selling, you know, the domain name to Michelle Wee or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot cheaper to do that than to go to court, so that may be how it ends up. A funny thing is on this note that we'll link to, it says Natalie Goldis has signed with the same marketing, the same company that markets Anna Kournikova. So
yeah,
all the jokes about her being the Anna Kournikova of golf, even though she's by far exceeded the level that Kournikova did in tennis, you know,
right,
making a Solheim Cup team and whatnot, they may kick up again here. So hopefully she can win something.
I think she's embraced that image.
Well, yeah. So what's your bag worth, Jeff? Because that's the next topic here, real quick.
Well, my bag retails pushing 2,000, but market value, it's similar to what you'll find linked to Dave's Numbers Game article. You know,
I find it odd that he wrote a column called "What's Your Bag Worth?" and never told us what his bag was worth. Just
well, the
stuff in it.
He says the market value of my bag or the
close
inside is 730. Oh, the bag itself?
Yeah. The column's called "What's Your Bag Worth?" Well,
what's in your bag worth?
Right. See?
You know.
That's not as catchy.
Yeah, that's probably why I stuck with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so my bag's worth similar to what Dave's is. Sentimental value is probably worth about $1,300 to me.
Yeah, I don't get too sentimental about my golf clubs. No. You know, I like them, and I pick the right ones, but they're not one of a kind. You know, I can certainly go get them again.
Mm-hmm.
So, Phil Mickelson, one of the 10 most hated athletes.
He is.
For the record, they did not ask me to vote in this poll. But, yeah, he's right up there with, I don't know who, Ron Artest or somebody else. I don't know.
Yeah, I find it interesting. There's such a discrepancy between his kind of fan base and those who have to play with him.
Kobe Bryant, Curt Schilling, Kurt Busch, Barry Bonds. Hey, Terrell Owens.
All right, T.O., he's number one.
Phil Mickelson and Terrell Owens. There you go.
I don't know if I'd put him in the same category. T.O. is he's a planet in and of himself, another universe.
Well, we won't bag on Phil too much, but we will use this as a segue into the Daily Planet. This week's episode basically was John Daly having practice rounds. And the part I liked the most was the parts with Vijay Singh in it, because Vijay Singh really doesn't care too much for the media. But all of his peers, from what I can tell, all the professional golfers adore Vijay Singh. They say that he's always willing to help out, check out your swing, give you some tips. He's always willing to play a practice round, you know, and so on. So someone who has a really kind of an icy, cold persona as far as the media is concerned is actually an all-around good guy, versus Phil, who's seen as a family guy, but really his fellow golfers really don't care for him much. Hence, you know, Phil's nickname, Vig Jam.
That's right.
We'll get into that another time.
And we did an article on that. In fact, I did
an article
on nicknames, and we can link to that.
That's right. Vijay Singh was kidding with John Daly. He was saying, oh, I don't like practice rounds. Practice rounds suck. And then he talked about how he showed up in 91 at Crooked Stick and didn't even get in until the day of the tournament and didn't play a practice round, just went out and played. Vijay is like, you're still talking about that? You know, giving some crap back to JD. And,
yeah.
You know, it's fun. It's lighthearted. You know, and it showed Vijay Singh, you know, saying some things that he wouldn't say to the press. You know, he kind of criticized in a friendly way. You could tell him and John Daly are friends. Criticized John Daly's drive, you know, to play. And it was interesting to see this other side of Vijay Singh. So I really didn't care for the John Daly parts of the John Daly show there, the Daily Planet. But the Vijay Singh parts were certainly really interesting. You know, if you had a TV, you might know that.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a correlation between, you know, not really, you know,
how are you going to watch the Super Bowl if you don't have a TV?
Oh, I'm going to be over at my buddy's house.
But you were saying, sorry.
Well, I think there's a correlation between, you know, Vijay, he's not really a media darling. Phil is, You know, VJ knows that the media is going to be up and down and all over the planet. You know, they're gonna make decisions on his character based on stuff that doesn't even matter. And so he's chosen to just ignore that. Whereas, perhaps, again, I'm not on the inside, perhaps with Phil, his appearance is more important to him than his actual kind of interaction with people. So I think it's pretty neat to see that about VJ, you know, laid back guy.
I agree as well. It's fun stuff. So when you do get a TV, you have to check it out because it's the Golf Channel, and they'll re-show the show, you know, 4,000 times. So pretty much you have a 1 in 10 chance of catching it at any moment when you turn on the TV.
Nice.
Because that's about how many shows they have, so. Range balls. Range balls suck. That's a thread we have in our forum. I really don't like hitting range balls. I just, ugh. Except to get loosened up, maybe. Ugh, I've just really gotten away from hitting range balls because we don't get Titleist Pro V1Xs, you know, in our range like the pros do. We get, you know, range balls, so. Mm-hmm. Ugh, and we have a golf dome here. I hate hitting off the mats. They're just, yeah, I'm pretty sure they goofed up my game for the first couple months of last spring because, mm-hmm. you know, they require a different swing. They feel completely different. You can hit a ball 3 inches fat and it'll bounce and skid off the rubber and still look like a decent shot. Range balls, what do you think?
Well, you know, perhaps this kind of reveals my new status to the game, but I don't mind it so much because I focus on picking the ball clean and, you know, hitting solid shots in the middle of the club face. And that seems to kind of help my mental approach and my ball striking. So I focus on the ball striking and less on distance and, you know, necessarily the exact feel of the ball that I'm right. using, of course.
Well, fair enough, too. But one other reason I don't like range balls is they're harder and crappier, and they tend to scuff up clubs a lot more easily. So I really don't like to see the, you know, hit the range and suddenly three of your irons have a scuff mark somewhere.
Yeah, well, and I don't spend a whole lot of time with the driver on the range because that may have the potential to mess your woods up that way. Well,
something else I'm not too keen on, golf trading cards. They really don't exist, but they've been out there. We're going to link to Thrash Talk from Matt Karlick, and he basically wonders why there aren't any golf trading cards out there. I don't know, you know, maybe because most golfers are, you know, the average golfer is like 45-year-old white male.
Yeah, and just a card, a lumpy, just doesn't seem like it do much for me.
Right. Some LPGA trading cards might go over okay. But,
this, on the other hand, might get closer to what we're looking for.
No. Right. But, oh boy, I'm leaving that one alone. So, hopefully this episode was a little louder for you. If you didn't notice, last week we started putting pictures in, so you might want to check that out. But this was episode 11. Again, look for some special coverage from the PGA Merchandise Show this coming week. And a podcast next Friday where Jeff and I will probably waste half the time smack talking each other about some silly football game a couple days after that.
That's so, right.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
Goodbye.
Take care. Bye.